Hi, this is Doc Bradley. You're listening to Quality Time, and you better keep listening or I will tear your soul apart.
I'm just going to do it one more time.
Quality Time, video games, all the girls, comedy, and bitches. Quality Time, video games, all the girls, comedy, and bitches.
That's the age I was at. Like, I was I was young, and like Wayne's World was like my shit.
It was.
And I really thought like that's how men fall in love with women, because every time each one of those guys saw the woman of his dreams, time slowed down. Like her hair blew. Like when Garth sees that woman, she like touches her neck. Foxy, yeah. I was like, wow, that's guys like fucking swoon over women.
That's how boners feel, Kim. Time slows
so
down.
So romantic.
That's why when we last a minute, it feels like a lifetime.
You're
it doesn't matter. It can be another 30 years from now, but I will still act out the exact same things they do when they do a Bohemian Rhapsody while driving.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And my favorite is one of the guys who I think the cameraman has also been... Lee Tergesen, who was like raped on Oz.
Why do you have
you
a,
guys know
you have a rape log?
No, but I mean it was such a funny part, and every part ever since then has been like serious horrible parts for him.
There's
so.
Like rape film stills in his dungeon basement.
He was also Bill Paxton in the Weird Science TV show. So,
well, that's great. And you know what else is great? Another episode of Quality Time.
Yay!
Everybody, we're back in full effect. My name is Eric Woodworth. I'm here every week because this is the recording studio where it happens. So if I'm not here, it's kind of weird.
You can't escape. Yeah.
To my left is none other than the very lovely, the super pregnant, Miss Kimberly Ambrose.
You
Kimberly,
know,
how are you?
I don't like keep track of your lefts and your rights. So when you're like, to my left, I'm like, who's he going to say? And then you say something like the super lovely. I'm like, still waiting.
No,
not
you
there
shut
yet.
Your mouth. You shut
not
your
there
mouth.
Yet.
Don't you agree?
He's only
yourself.
Been bald for years.
Yeah. And to my right is none other than my blood, my brother, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth. Jeremy, how are you, sir?
Don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who has joined us on this episode tonight?
Name's Wes. One thing I want to know is why a bunch of unpopular dicks like you is having a podcast.
Oh, shit. Wes.
You probably can't even take a shower without keeping your underpants on.
Out of all of your impersonations that you bring to the show, that's got to be one of the stronger ones I've heard. That's strong. That's very strong.
Couldn't you keep this between us? I'd like to
keep my
teaching job.
That's from Weird Science, because Wes from this movie that we're doing tonight, The Road Warrior, was also in Weird Science as pretty much the exact same character he was in this movie. But before we get to our movie of the night, Kimberly, God bless you. You're here tonight.
I know.
We
I
were
fucked
so,
up.
We
last
were
time.
Worried to death.
I fucked up.
Where were you?
I didn't know. Oh, we'd God. Confirmed, and I was like at home, and I like I have so neglected my phone. Like ever since I got off Facebook, I've been I've been regressing in phone usage,
I
and
dig it
feels amazing. But that also means that 2.5 hours later, I'll check something, and it's like, "Where are you? Are you dead?" And I'm like, "Oh, I was watching things on TV. I'm sorry."
Yeah, true that. True that. Well, we speculated about what was happening. We assumed that you had just probably A, forgotten, or
okay.
B, we were worried sick, so we did lots of speculation that you were dead. So
Jeremy
actually said in the last episode that you probably got shot by a Carroll County police officer because he thought you were a groundhog. So that was
that's a layered story.
That's what happened when you left me alone with him. I need you as my anchor because I fall into his craziness.
Which by the way, I recognize driving up here, which is only like 2 miles down the road. So
what, Carroll County? Or
groundhogs?
The Sykesville.
Yeah, the ground. You saw the groundhog story about the groundhog that the Carroll County officer shot?
No.
Happened right down the street. So there's a video online.
Was he black? What happened?
Yeah. Oh, it was coming right for him. No, so like traffic is stopped because there's this groundhog and the cop gets out and he's trying to like shoo him and the groundhog gets kind of aggressive with him and kind of like walks him to the other side of the
Don't
road.
Don't shoo me. It's fucking
and then
rude.
All of a sudden the groundhog just charges at him and the dude pulls his gun and just pops him once and everybody goes, oh my gosh. And then he pops him one more time.
Is it making the police look more and more? And look, No one has more respect for the police than this lady right here, because if it was not for the police, number one, I wouldn't feel safe during my parents' divorce, and number two, we wouldn't have such phenomenal television. Mm-hmm. They are the unsung heroes. When everybody was like, fuck the police, I'm like, but not homicide detectives. You leave them alone.
Yeah, homicide, but murder police are legit.
Murder police, right? Are legit. They're underpaid, overworked, and they give a fuck. And if there's anything I love in this world, it's people who give a fuck. However, are these instances with police where just making them look more and more like pussies? I mean, it's a groundhog.
Well, the funny part about all of the groundhog
is,
like, it went national news, like, because people thought they were going to freak out, and, like, they watched the video and they were like, well, I mean, this is kind of what, like, police should do, is, like, if there's a groundhog in the street that, like, is a nuisance, you put it out of its fucking misery. And I mean, I'm sure there's some PETA fucking group that was just like, who should have let the groundhog go? Have you seen Groundhog's Day? Like, but, like,
I just don't understand. Like, when there's a spider in my grandma's pool, she takes a net and she moves it to a different location. Like, how fucking hard is that to do?
No, I
think they chase bears out of mountains.
Listen,
like, come on.
Every time a black police officer police officer uses his gun not on a black person, I'm happy. Okay, where I'm at right now.
What if that's what they started doing? They took their guns away, like in the other guys. Put a nice varnish on that.
Yeah.
What if instead they gave them nets and white cops just started netting black people and relocating them? Like, we don't want you here, but we'll let you be over here.
Yeah, like, I don't think if you're a police officer on a horse, you need to apprehend black people like Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Where you're on horseback, you net them.
It's a really
you bring
fucked
them
up
back.
Analogy.
Is it? Well, it's
visually,
the apes were riding it and they were getting white people. But that's what I think. That's where we should be.
This analogy is known as the shovel, where he digs himself deeper.
Is this bad? Did I use too many trigger words in one thing?
Using apes, I think, is harsh.
But the apes were using the horses. It was Planet of the Apes. I'm not racist.
If you maybe said the orangutans or chimps versus the apes.
Oh, okay.
It's
that's
weird.
What
you
I
sweat just
to,
like a bigot.
I do.
I'm so sick of it.
I want you to know that I hate all people equally.
I'm so sick of it. Like, I got off of Facebook, but I still want to hear what's going on in, like, the actual world. So I've been on Twitter, and, like, every day is, like, you know that meme of that guy who's making that face? Like, fucking really? You know what I'm talking about? He does, like, the multiple blinks. And you're like, that's me every day on Twitter. Like, I can't take it anymore.
Well, I feel like I've kind of come to this realization over the last year or so, is that people in general
suck.
Sit there online, right? And they wait for that moment, and they go like this. I'm like, I'm about to get real prolific.
It's not even that.
Everybody's trying to share their prolific belief.
It's not even that. Like, that I can handle.
It's ridiculous.
That I can handle. That's fodder to me. That's fun. When people go back and forth and, like, one person's being mature and the other's being a dick.
No, I'm talking about, like, the guy who sits here, sees the news story and says, I'm going to solve this in 128 characters.
See, what I'm talking about is the actual news story. Like, they're calling the police because someone is black and barbecuing. Come on.
And that lady's getting treated appropriately. She's been publicly shamed. I've actually gotten to the point now where, like, I watched the video and I was just like, man, what a fucking bitch. And now that I've seen her get shit on universally, like, I feel, now I've come to, like, full circle where I was like, I think she's had enough. Like,
no
she's
way.
Had to have learned her lesson.
You don't know how I stand on this. The fact that that black man wasn't using propane, I stand behind her all the way. Right, Bobby?
Like,
it's not racist because propane is superior.
I feel like every white person who causes undue stress in a black person's life, it's in what's that movie called? Harlem Nights treatment, and they should get shot in their pinky toe. That's what I think.
Just catch one pinky shot. I want to see that little pig in a blanket severed from the rest of your fucking ham
it's
hock.
So great when she does that. Shot me in my pinky toe.
Oh,
I love it. I love Harlem Nights. When's the last time you watched that?
It's been a hot minute. It's been a while. It hasn't been recently, for sure.
So good.
But that's
Lethal Weapon is the closest I get to watching a black film.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
By the way, no Joe Robinson corrections this week.
Wow.
But special shout out to Joe Robinson. Congratulations on your engagement.
Oh, wow,
did
Joe?
You,
I didn't know.
Did you hear? Oh, well, because you're not on the FB.
Yeah.
Joe rented a he worked with a movie theater and said he was taking Katie to go see Say Anything, which is one of her favorite movies.
Cute.
And in the credits, there was a video that played about them as one of the trailers.
Stop it.
And he proposed.
Oh my
and
God.
Mad peeps were there outside waiting and
Aww,
stuff like that.
Congratulations,
and now,
Katie.
And now I owe Rob Mayer $5. So, because I was sure she was going to say no. Like, what are you? You're so old. Why the fuck did you marry this guy?
Oh, yay.
But truthfully, no. Thank you, Joe Robinson. We love you to death. And congratulations.
Hell yeah.
Sorry I couldn't be there. I had a family to watch. And it's not an excuse.
It happens in the best
But
of us.
I didn't make the. I could have made more effort to be there, but I didn't because my wife was out of town.
Yeah,
and so
whatever.
It is what it is.
It
Fuck
is.
That. You know what? It's
let them have their moment. It's fine.
Get your D wet.
This isn't about
that's
you.
That's not rolling at this point. So tonight's movie. If I'm sorry, Jeremy, go ahead.
I did a lot of gay stuff up in Jersey.
Jeremy, it's too late to bring up new topics after we're starting the movie.
Okay.
Now,
sorry.
Wait, I want to hear about all this gay stuff though.
Should we give you your gay moment and we'll reintroduce the film?
Okay.
There we go.
All right.
Let's go.
I at least like 20 times.
Me too, big guy.
Go on.
You know, the worst
I'm
part,
listening.
The worst part is that.
With my dick out.
The worst part is that he was kind of cool with it. And he kept laughing at least 5 or 6 takes in a row to the point where.
So you got to keep doing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which started annoying me. And our, she's a DP. I don't know what exactly that means in movie terms.
I know what that means.
Double penetration.
She literally gave him like a serious, serious talking to. Like, you're being raped. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, you don't have time to fuck around. And she got really bitchy with him. So
I love that woman was like, stop it. You act raped right now. I won't take any more of this shit.
Jeremy, if you could actually rape this boy so he could have some inspiration for this fucking part.
I got 2 kids the one day. The second kid kind of looked like Screech from Saved by the Bell.
Oh, God.
Which I held back so hard. I'm making a joke. But he's the one that I actually had look like he was made in makeup and dead for like 3 weeks.
Oh, nice.
And
nice.
He's sitting in bed with me and I'm watching TV like he's my buddy, even though he's dead.
We're friends.
We fuck. Anyway, so good. I'm glad, Jeremy. So what's the movie again one more time for our listeners coming out?
Killer Clown Meets the Candyman.
You can check it out at your local horror con
maybe in a year.
Convention.
This might
next
actually,
year, you think?
Maybe next year, but this it might actually make me an actual celebrity at Chiller, so...
Cool. Yeah, you're going to be a big fucking deal now. Look at you.
Yeah.
Fucking big hoss Jeremy Woodworth.
Whoa.
Coming in, slanging dick.
Like getting me into another trauma film.
You're going to have to up his quality time money to $200 a
Shut
year.
Shut up, bitch.
What?
A year.
It might pump you into a higher tax bracket. But tonight, without further ado,
that
we are going over.
My wife might not leave me.
Is inevitable. But she's just going to leave you because you'll die. Don't worry. That's
oh
not going to be. There won't be any other reason. But tonight, we are going over the 1981 classic, fucking Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior. And
it was an age undreamed of. In the first movie, we made it seem as if the gasoline was really in unbelievable supply. It had nothing to do with gasoline. But we put these clips into it to make it put together with gasoline in this movie. Where people were fighting each other and had gangs. Gangs. Like gangs of New York, but in Australia.
Oh, good work, Jeremy Woodworth, with the hot intro take.
I was thinking of like the Girl Talk like mashup of this movie. Like there's so many songs that play into this movie, like the Gasolina song, and then like the Warrior, right? And then like Tenacious D, like the road is fucking hard.
It's
right?
Also really fucking tough.
It is. That's a
more?
True story.
Yeah, go for it.
Tonight on Quality Time, we'll be making lace doilies. These doilies will be good for any party. Another thing is the gasoline surprise. It's a cake that explodes gasoline all over your room. Children will be screaming as if it's a post-apocalypse party. Tonight on Quality Time, we're going to make a pumpkin. But it's a pumpkin filled with human blood. And the most important part is you're supposed to rape the pumpkin.
Okay, Jesus.
On Quality Time.
All right.
That's amazing.
Honestly, I was hesitant, and then when, as soon as you raped the pumpkin, I was fully on board.
Yeah. Brought him back in.
God bless you, Jeremy Woodworth. Yeah, we're going over George Miller's 1981 classic, The Road Warrior, a.k.a. Mad Max 2, because Mad Max 1 actually didn't have a theatrical release within the U.S.
Oh.
So this movie does open up with Mad Max 2, but it was marketed as The Road Warrior here in the States. And during the intro, it was never part of the original cut of the movie, which we will play real quick because, A, it kind of brings you up to speed about Max. If you've never seen the original Mad Max.
I appreciated the catch up.
I appreciate Mad Max for what it is. You get to learn about the Interceptor, which is the car that he drives in it.
Badass.
Because it makes its way back into this film. But let's
Did you know the best part about Mad Max? Is the fact that he didn't use his Australian accent. Yeah, why don't you tell me more?
So, without further ado, here is the intro to the movie The Road Warrior, Mad Max 2.
My life fades. The vision dims. All that remains are memories. I remember a time of chaos. Ruined dreams. This wasted land. But most of all, I remember the Road Warrior, the man we called Max. To understand who he was, you have to go back to another time, when the world was powered by the black fuel, and the desert sprouted great cities of pipe and steel. Gone now, swept away. For reasons long forgotten, two mighty warrior tribes went to war and touched off a blaze which engulfed them all. Without fuel, they were nothing. They'd built a house of straw. The thundering machine sputtered and stopped. Their leaders talked and talked and talked. But nothing could stem the avalanche. Their world crumbled.
I love how he says avalanche.
Cities exploded. A whirlwind of looting. A firestorm of fear. Men began to feed on men. On the roads, it was a white line nightmare.
It was diarrhea
only
city.
Only those mobile enough to scavenge, brutal enough to pillage, could survive. The gangs took over the highways. Ready to wage war for a tank of juice.
But not black gangs, because we're in Australia.
Ordinary men were battered and smashed. Men like Max. The warrior Max. In the roar of an engine, he lost everything.
As his kids get run down in the first Mad Max, boom.
Terrible.
And became a shell of a man. A burnt-out, desolate man. A man haunted by the demons of his past.
A man who would leave really bad messages on his telephone.
And it was here, in this blighted place, that he learned to live again.
And learned to dance.
Oh, then that's the powerful intro that was added for the American release.
Every time I see a good intro, it always takes me to my favorite movie intro, which is the Dawn of the Dead remake. There's a man going around.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that should immediately go into that.
Yeah, the fucking Johnny Cash song.
It's so good, and they have like the montage of like
the Piper.
The way it kicks in with the guitar is just fucking good.
Ultimate montage.
Yeah, Dawn of the Dead is one of those movies where I almost like the remake as much as the original. It's on par with it.
And it's not a great movie. Like, I would never stand by it as like, it's a fucking great film. It's not. It's extremely entertaining, and it's very well done for what it is.
It is very good. And it has that guy from Modern Family, which, God bless him. Can he just be in more stuff?
So good.
I'm very excited.
You know, the only thing that could have made Dawn of the Dead remake better?
What's that?
Eminem.
Okay, I'm listening.
Well, you know, you got Mekhi Phifer in the film as well.
Oh, yes. Then they have a rap battle.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Eminem do a rap battle against the zombie kid, which is the dumbest part of that whole movie, is the zombie baby that lady
yeah,
has.
Yeah, that was the worst.
Like, fuck your dead fucking corpse baby. Like, that's ridiculous.
One of the best things about that movie is the sounds that they made the zombies make. And the baby does make a cool sound when it comes in. It's like, and it like, baby cry but scream or zombie version.
The coolest is the fat lady. I mean, we can all admit that the fat zombie lady,
that was wicked.
It's actually a dude.
It was. I do know that.
Yeah.
It didn't not make me hard that I learned it was a guy, but yeah, it was a dude.
Matt Furrer was pretty good in it too.
The movie immediately opens up with a car chase just to set the fucking tone of this film. After that intro,
love
takes
it.
You right into high speed chase. He's driving the police interceptor, which is now painted in all fucking black.
Hell yeah.
Since the first movie, it was originally yellow.
You gotta keep it low key.
What they didn't really tell you is that, you know, Max was one of the last people that was a good law-abiding citizen as the world crumbled. He was still a cop. He worked for the police force that was still dirty at the time, and the gangs destroyed his life.
It's a very poetic thing if you think about it, where they're having this juxtaposition between he's super trained to handle this scenario physically, but mentally, emotionally, he's the last person willing to let go of what society is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with Rick in The Walking Dead. Like, he's like trying to hold it all together.
Kind of, yeah. The idea of there's the good cop. How long can you be a good cop when nobody
before the world just takes over?
The law,
yeah,
you know. Yeah, it's interesting. Although I will say, Mad Max is 100 times more badass than Rick Grimes. 100 times.
He didn't lose
not
his
in the
hand
comics.
Like a bitch.
Comics, Rick Grimes is pretty badass.
He's amazing.
But the show, I could do without. Okay,
I
can do without. So Max makes pretty short work of his pursuit. And basically the car chase ends with him at a giant like 16-wheel tanker that is overturned, and he goes over to get out of the vehicle, his car, to go collect some of the oil and gas that's spilling out of this tanker. He finds
one of the overturned cars that was in the crash.
No, he
like
rolls
little,
up
it's like a little dune buggy.
Well, there was a dune buggy, but no, he walks up to the giant
tanker,
the giant 18-wheel rig that's on its side, and it's leaking that. But that wasn't part of the chase. It was just
I think it was a dune buggy that had just crashed.
Well, he did. He crashed the dune buggy right near there.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, that isn't what he was grabbing the oil from. He's not grabbing the gasoline from that thing. He's grabbing it from the truck, I thought.
No.
I'm wrong on that one.
The car that just crashed.
Matt Cannon is going to have our ass on this one. He's going to have our ass on this one.
The one thing that really kicks in for any sort of car OCD is the fact that he's going to gather this gasoline in dirty hat and like a frisbee that he just finds. Like, oh, you're going to pour that into your engine now.
Right, that's going to work.
Yeah. So.
Didn't think that one through.
Well, cars ran a lot dirtier back then, and you could fix them more easily because there was no computers, so it made more sense.
And you love the fact that the dog knows what's going on, because as soon as he puts his supercharger off, the dog like, oh shit, gonna go to the back of the car.
Yeah, you do get to meet Max's dog. And interesting so factoid cute. About that dog, they actually just got that dog from a local shelter in Australia.
He was so
and
good.
They trained him for this movie, and he was so good. Like, everybody who was like watching him was just like, man, this dog could be like in pictures.
He's
but
super smart.
He was never in another movie. One of the cameramen just adopted him afterwards.
Aww.
And he was a very just loving pet for the rest of his life.
Oh my god,
so,
what a happy story.
Isn't that fun?
Oh my god.
And in the story, he's only referred to as dog. Mm-hmm, so there you go.
But sadly, they had to shoot him in the actual movie just to make him more realistic.
Yeah. So,
spoiler.
One of the final pursuers comes up, and it is a Mohawk gentleman who we will learn later is named Wes, with a very flacken-haired gentleman riding behind him who
we'll just call Rob Halford.
We'll call Rob Halford, yes.
Or KK Downing.
Is kind of people, fans have implied that there was a gay relationship between this gentleman and the other one.
100%.
100%.
Just by his assless chaps?
Yes. But George Miller has never confirmed that there was a gay relationship between these
two. He was distraught when he got boomeranged in the fucking...
We're going to get to that. All right. Okay, so this dude and his gay boyfriend with the mohawk, they roll up and Wes lets out a giant scream before he goes and turns tail and runs away, leaving the road warrior there in the middle of the road with his shotgun, which we will soon find out isn't maybe the most effective weapon in the whole world.
Yeah.
So
you'd think, but...
Shortly after that, we get to see... before he does the scream, he pulls an arrow out of his arm because he caught an arrow during the chase, which is a pretty cool little graphic scene. He lets out the scream, takes off, inside the wreckage of this mangled truck that Max finds, he sees somebody who's screaming from the back of the tanker, reaching out like this, and he's like, oh, that guy's fucked. So he opens up the passenger side door and a dead body that's fucking gnarly comes out.
Pretty
it's kind
cool.
of a jump scare.
Pretty great.
It looks pretty fucking awesome. Looks like this guy got sucked out into the atmosphere of Mars and Total Recall. His eyes are like bulging out and shit.
I don't know if the commentary says it's the same eyeball head that he used from the original when the guy's about to get hit by the tanker, his eyes bulge out.
Yeah, I remember that.
The other favorite thing I love is that the tanker says the vermin shall inherit the earth. So
that is a fun statement.
This is probably like the 50th time I've seen it, and I don't know if I had noticed that they did have like a dead kangaroo on the road that the dog was checking out.
Oh, so, really? I never noticed that either.
It was literally like a second. So.
That's fucking cool. So Max inspects the inside of the cab of this 18-wheeler, and he does find that there's a little music box that plays Happy Birthday, so he pockets that. It'll come in later in the movie.
Maybe I can find this and give this to a young feral boy.
Hopefully I can find a stray boy that'll be my friend with a boomerang that'll cut his people's fingers off. I don't know. Maybe that's a thing I'll find. So next, Max drives down the road and finds a small little gyro or a helicopter, basically a single person. It's a gyro. He finds a small gyro. He gets out to go check it out, obviously maybe to just scavenge some gas. As he comes up to it, he sees a snake is wrapped around it. Ooh. And he sees this snake and recognizes that it's a poisonous snake. Grabs this fucker by its neck, like, whoa, because
sure.
I'm Mad Max. I know what the fuck is
That's
going on.
That's a risk
on.
I'm willing to take. What?
But as he grabs this snake, a gentleman comes out from underneath the fucking dirt.
Jeez.
Just uncovers himself. He's buried himself all the way head to toe and comes up with a fucking crossbow and says, hey there. Oh, yes. And we get to meet the gyro captain who has a crossbow aimed at Max. Now, they have a little brief back and forth saying, hey, I'm sure you're here to steal some of the gas. He's just like, can't take my gas. He's like, it's on to blow. And he was just like, all right. And he sends him over to go disarm it. And as he goes to reach under, you can see that there's a knife fucking underneath the car
it's
near
like
the kill switch.
Machete,
yeah,
sort
yeah.
Of.
And then the guy, the gyro captain goes, he's like, you know, if I was a smart man, I'd probably hide a weapon underneath there.
Fuck.
But if I was also a smarter man, I would pin you to this car if you had a weapon underneath there. So Max decides not to grab the knife, and he flips the kill switch off. And then shortly after that, finds an opportunity to disarm him, like right after that happens. And then as the gyro captain is pleading for his life not to die at the hands of Mad Max, he says, I know where all the gas you need in the world is.
Yeah.
And so he... goes ahead and takes up his offer, hops in the passenger side seat of his car, and then drives him over to a little site where a small encampment where a giant tank of gas is.
Sweet.
Did you know what Austrians call the big oil rigs?
No, I'm sure you're going to tell me that.
They call them kajunkas.
Kajunk. You got enough. What you gonna do with all that kajunk? All that kajunk inside that ground.
Get it oil, and then we're gonna have a place where you can fight the bad guys.
So basically, the whole beginning of this movie, action packed, kicks in immediately. But it's basically the music video for that song. It's like you had a bad day, and something happened. You know, because it's just one thing after a fucking another. Like he can't catch a goddamn break.
Can we name two other movies that Bruce Spence has been in?
The British guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, the gyro captain. I can't name... No, I couldn't name another one.
Two other movies nobody would ever remember. One was the Matrix. I think the final Matrix film, he was the conductor that kept Neo in the subway. And, of course, the Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. He was like one of the weird plant-like guys that's like, they're keeping us hostage here. They're up on the upper levels. Two little Bruce Spence movies that he's been in other than this.
Did not know that. Thank you, Jeremy.
And of course, Thunderdome.
Thunderdome! That is true. So he takes him to the small town. It's kind of this encampment in the middle of the desert. And they head to a small cliff nearby. They see that the encampment is completely surrounded by the marauders and the huge Lord Humongous. Max opens a can of dog food and starts eating in the meantime.
This made me like I didn't think that was gonna happen. Like, I don't know, like he opened it and I was like, okay, he's gonna feed his dog, and he fucking took a bite and he looked like if you hadn't had Steakums in 10 years, and even though they're not good, you're like, that old familiar I was poor when I was a kid taste. Oh God, I miss it. Like he ate some and was like, oh, yeah. I've been longing for that. And I was like, whoa.
Do you remember what it says on the can?
Dinky-do.
You know what dinky-do stands for? And
no.
It's a slang word in Australia that stands for quality. Quality.
Hey, there's
so
a plug.
It's quality dog food. So as he's sitting there, I'll tell you a little story from my past, guys.
Highest amount of kangaroo meat than any other dog food. Yes. So, and koala.
Well, there's nothing wrong with eating kangaroo because kangaroo is like their deer over there.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't
sell burgers and stuff.
That's like, you know, it's good to eat a good amount of kangaroo meat. If you eat deer,
take the population down.
You can do that. So, I'll tell you a fun story about my past, guys. When I was in college at Salisbury University, holla, we had a tradition called New Guy Night, and I feel like I'm far enough removed to tell this story because hazing is very much not a cool thing. And I can admit, like, by the time I left college, that we didn't really have a hazing or New Guy Night anymore in the way that I remember it.
And you were like, God damn it, what the fuck?
So I had to go. I was one of the last people that had to go through a nice hazing event. Mm-hmm. I offered myself. I could have left, but I chose to go through this event. It's just one night of basically getting shit on by everybody in the club. But one of the things that they do is we do dog food races where you and the other new guys all have to eat dog food. Ugh. And if you win, you're going to not have to do the next challenge, which is really bad, which is going to be worse than eating the dog food, right? So we, every year, though, there is a competition of who can eat the dog food. And every year that we did New Guy Night, I opted to be the old boy that would go and race everybody with the dog food. Because for some reason, I'll be honest with you guys, I love fucking dog food.
Oh,
it's fucking delicious. It is so fucking good. And I had the ability to get in front of like 19 and 18 year olds who were all had a giant canned dog food, and I would open it up and I'd start like forking it down like, oh, this is so good. You don't like this? And I could make at least one person throw up every time. And I would just go like this and just eat it up like that.
Oh my God.
Horrible burps. But I could eat a can of dog food and love it. I don't know why.
My God.
And when I saw this part of the movie, I don't think I've watched this movie in about 10 years. I remember watching it probably when I was like 16 or 17. after knowing what dog food tastes like, I was just like, fuck yeah, if I found a can of dog food, I'd fuck that up in the Armageddon. You know, you understand? Like,
it says
be good.
Meat and vegetables on the can. Were you like, ooh, what, meat and vegetables?
If I had the choice of eating dog food or souse loaf, I would pick the dog food. So, although my favorite dog food is snouts and nipples. So.
Snouts and nipples. So. A Jeremy Woodworth classic. Mm. So he then takes the can after he's done eating and chucks it over to the dog. And the gyro captain and the dog fight over the can and the dog wins.
Hell yeah.
And then the gyro captain is left with the scraps that the dog couldn't get with his tongue at the bottom.
Gross.
Which is, and he's loving it. Like, fucking scoops it out with his fingers like that. It's fucking gross and awesome.
He's got his classic campfire desert wooden spoon. That
I like it. Yeah, because as he's eating, he pulls out. He's like, "Oh, good thing I got my trusty spoon here, just for dog food situations like this."
There was one thing that the gyro captain would never leave behind. It was always his wooden spoon. It stayed by him both thick and thin. But the wooden spoon is now but a memory that just fades off, much like when I fall asleep after drinking a 30-pack and I've already urinated myself 3 times.
The wooden spoon never survived the sexual encounters with his third ex-wife, which he thrust into her deep, dank vagina over and over, and it died of wood rot.
We never had Viagra in the future. We just had the wooden spoon.
Oh, that was good. That was wooden good. Spoon. Good bit. Good
we can
bit.
Do this only 20 more times.
We have 9 more plans for that piece of audio, so I hope you're ready. Later that night, night falls, the gang takes off to take camp.
The gang!
The Marauders. They only are referred to as the Marauders. They don't really have a gang name, but the gang all takes off, and they camp nearby.
I call them the Nutty Desert Fun Gang.
So...
with Humongous, who loves singing 50s tunes. And now, it's time to sing another song. Get the guitar out. Sorry.
So in the morning, 3 cars leave the compound, and the gang takes off in pursuit after the vehicles. But as the 3 take off, a 4th one leaves late and heads in the opposite direction from the other 3. But they are quickly followed by the rest of them. Max is kind of scoping this out from the plateau he's on, and he sees that 4th car get basically run off. The drivers get captured. The guy gets fucking stabbed in the leg, and the woman gets sexually assaulted in front of him. As he's watching with his binoculars, the fucking gyro captain pulls out like a 4-foot-long scope that he sees. Now he can clearly see better, so Max takes it from him. It's kind of comical as juxtaposed to the fucking horrible rape that's happening.
It was a little hard to watch, honestly.
It was
like
rough.
Because it wasn't just that it was happening, it was they really focused on how miserable she was and terrified.
It
was just very, very uncomfortable. And also what it was that like you didn't know if he was gonna do something. But there came a point in the scene, like specifically about the rape. And then there came a point in the scene when you realized he wasn't. And you were like, oh, that sucks. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like in 2018, of course, like now we have SVU, that would have changed the whole like
the dynamic. Of
yeah,
because
he would have been like, I can't just sit here and watch this.
Well, you see him take off as this is
and
happening.
You're like, okay, but then you realize it's too late.
Yeah, he's too late.
Yeah.
The lady gets an arrow in her for her troubles.
Man,
this guy doesn't get. You know, he gets his nut. Fucking shoots a fucking arrow into her.
Ugh.
Fucking stabs the other guy, and then Max rolls up a little bit too late, and the guy kind of turns around as he rolls up on him, and he's just like, hey, did you come here for the fucking dead puss? Like, he has this face like hey,
up,
I just raped this chick. Isn't that awesome?
I don't think they should change that, though, because I get why they did it. It makes the bad guys seem way more powerful and scary. If Max was able to, like, in the second scene, like, go up and, like, avenge this woman, like, there's not really a lot of conflict there for the final scene, you know?
Well, I think it also goes into the survival aspect. Like, you know, you kind of see Max take off, like, oh, he's going to save the day. Then when she dies, she's just like, oh,
he can't.
And then he shows up, and then like, oh, Max is just here so he can survive the next day.
He
saw this as an opportunity to get the drop on these guys.
Yes.
And he does. He gets the drop on this guy. He turns around like, whip, and fucking whacks him in the head with a giant pair of bolt cutters. And
you know what they say, right? Raped if you do, raped if you don't. It's a hard world out there.
So he goes to go free the other guy who got stabbed, and then uses the bolt cutters to free him. He goes, I'm just here for the gasoline. And he goes, the guy who stabbed says, as much as you like, just take me back there. And so he goes and hops in his fucking Interceptor again, and they go drive to the gates of the encampment. Now, as Max heads for the gates, he brings Nathan with him, and a feral boy starts to follow him from as he approaches the gates. So he just kind of sees him and is instantly drawn to him. He was just like, man, these guys in leather that are fucking our shit up, I'm very scared of. But this guy seems fucking legit. I gotta go check him out.
I don't like apocalyptic movies, and I feel like I should because they're kind of right up my alley. Mm-hmm. But weird to say after a rape scene, but like, they're all the same. It's a repetition every time. It's dry. It's sandy. They wear a lot of layers. Why? It looks hot. I don't know. He was in leather the whole time. It just seems
weird.
Well,
I mean, this is the originator of it, though. This one is the one that's set in the post-apocalyptic world. This
But there is always, always a child who cannot speak.
Mm.
Always, as we saw in Six String Samurai, and it was annoying as fuck.
No, this kid was much more adorable because he was more like a Chaka from Land of the Lost.
He was tolerable. Jerry? He held his own. He Chaka. Put forth,
and he was kind of badass. Unlike the little kid in fucking Six String Samurai, who I wanted to die constantly.
Yeah.
So Max heads for the door, drops his weapons, and they take him into the encampment, and he's explaining to them that he's like, I had to deal with this man. If I brought him back, I could get gasoline, and if you could just give me that would be great. But as he's going to go say, just go check with your men, ask him a
ask
question,
your bro.
And they go to check on him, motherfucker's already dead.
That's sad.
So his meal ticket is now dead, but the mourning is short-lived as the marauders return to the gates, fucking carrying basically all of the people who came out in those cars that were like to cause like a diversion for the fourth car to get away, which also got fucked up.
Nothing better to do.
Then they see this scene, which where we finally get to meet the Lord Humongous.
It sucks you have to hate him because he's so awesome.
Yeah, he's so jacked.
So cool.
Greetings from the Humongous. The Lord Humongous. The warrior of the wasteland. The Ayatollah of
rock and roller.
This is Dustin Hoffman's greatest role.
I'm gravely disappointed. Again, you have made me unleash my dogs of war. Look at what remains of your gallant scouts. Why? Because you're selfish. You hoard your gasoline. You will not listen to reason. Now,
a heckler during Hitler's speech.
You sent them out this morning to find a vehicle. A rig big enough to hold that fat tank of gas. What a puny plan. Look around you. This is the value of death.
So awesome.
Shoots that little fucking monster.
I don't want to not like him. He's all kind of awesome.
The Humongous rules the wasteland.
Give them nothing. Blow it up.
Catches a headbutt from Wes. And then the little kid throws the fucking boomerang out. It comes back.
This little kid, like, can't speak, but he knows injustice when he sees it.
He catches it. He's got, like, a fucking massive glove.
Oh, no!
Nice. Hits him right in the skull.
So he hits Wes's gay lover in the head with the fucking sharp-ass boomerang, catches it right in his fucking dome piece.
Pretty sweet. I didn't expect that.
The guy gets up, and he takes the boomerang and throws it back at the kid. And then because the kid has a fucking little fucking
special glove,
gnarly glove that he's made that he can catch this thing with. It looks like it's made out of fucking roadkill and shit like that. They throw it back and then it starts to come back, and the guy who did the intro for Lord Humongous goes, I got it. He goes to catch it, fucking chops off all of his fingers instantly.
And everybody laughs,
and then they all shit on him instantly and fucking start laughing like, what an idiot, he tried to catch the giant
knife.
That's
always the mark of a bad group of people, is that they don't even take up for their own.
No, yeah, you know, they shit like on their
like,
own people.
Fuck you, that sucks for you.
Way to go, dumbass.
Yeah.
So Wes, though, is completely distraught. He comes up to Humongous and just says, we must go in there, we must kill them.
So sad.
Kill them all. And then Humongous is like, calm down, my dog.
They killed my butt pet.
Like that. And then we get to hear this line right here, which is Humongous's warning and Cree of what he wants everybody to do.
There has been too much violence, too much pain. None here without sin. But I have an honorable compromise. Just walk away. Give the pump, the oil, the gasoline, and the whole compound, and I spare you lives. Just walk away. I will give you safe passage to Wasteland. Just walk away, and there will be an end to the horror.
They go and take off, and the town is immediately at odds of how to deal with this new situation that has come into play, because half the town is just like scared shitless. They're like, let's make a deal with Humongous. Let's do this now.
Never.
He's a fair and generous man. This guy in a Jason hockey mask is clearly somebody we should negotiate
with.
Wait,
a Jason hockey mask, BDSM leather accoutrement, and he like didn't even flinch when one of his own dudes got his fingers cut off and another got chopped in the head. You think he gives a fuck about you?
He doesn't. He doesn't. He
it's
gives
like
zero
poor
shits.
People who voted for Trump. Like, he doesn't care about you. He doesn't like you.
No president really does.
Yeah,
okay, let's
fact.
To be fair. To fact. Be fair. So as the townspeople are arguing over what to do, the feral kid comes. He has like his little fucking tunnel that he has into the compound. Comes and visits Max.
Smart.
And as he's talking to Max, Max makes a little friend because he hands him the little music box that he got that plays Happy Birthday. And this kid is tickled pink with this. I mean, this is the best toy he has ever gotten. It's like giving a special needs person a room full of bouncy balls.
His mongoloid joy is precious.
I'm pretty sure down his little tunnel he plays with real human heads.
Yes. He's like, oh, this is so much better than the fucking human body parts I've been collecting. Oh, this
and I'm
is
sure
so
he
good.
Collected all those fingers that he just cut off like, oh, I got a little more action figures, so.
Action fingers.
Yes.
So here we get to see the leader of the town, Zeta, talk about what they should do, and they want to take the tanker 2,000 miles from here to this paradise that they have in like some random brochure that that is basically the place where we need to go with all of our gas.
That's where Captain Walker lives and Mrs. Walker. So.
Yeah, yes.
And like they're always on about the gas, but every time you see this band of goons, they're always like doing unnecessary circles with dirt bikes, and like the first time you see them, they're just like hopping over ramps and shit, but the whole thing is about the shortage of gas.
Exactly.
It's annoying. It's like when I can't I keep telling my 5-year-old to turn the goddamn lights off. We gotta pay for that shit.
Pisses me off. So Max hears them arguing and says all this and knows that they need an 18 rig to carry that big fat tank of gas. So Max says, 2 days ago I saw a vehicle that'll hold that tanker.
You wanna get out of here? You talk to me.
Talk to me.
So, I think he says, hey, let's just go.
Begizm, Jasmine Blast. So the town gas him up, and Max says, my vehicle with all the juice I can carry is basically the deal he wants. And he walks out of town, not with his car, because they won't give him his car, because they're, you know, scared he's going to take off. He walks out with a tank of diesel and some high-octane gasoline, basically on, like, a giant broomstick in, like, the dead of night, right? So he's, like, carrying these four tanks of gas out of the encampment. And as he's trying to go under the cover of night past the encampment, he goes and fucking trips and falls, and it catches the attention of some of the marauders.
Uh-oh.
And as the marauder comes over to come investigate, he thinks he's dead to rights. He's getting ready for a fight, and all of a sudden the feral kid comes out of nowhere and he starts making some fucking gnarly ass coyote noises.
Pretty good too.
Yeah, howling as a little bit of a distraction. And the guy goes, oh, it's that fucking kid with the fucking boomerang again. Great. And so he gets pissed and then loses interest. So Max then makes his way all the way back to the cliff where the gyro captain was, to find him that he's not even there. The gyro captain is no longer there. He tied him to a stump earlier.
This
not
fuck.
There. So he goes and follows in pursuit of the gyro captain, who is literally a couple miles down the road dragging a giant stump behind him that he was tied to. So they make their way back to where the gyro captain's, you know, fucking helicopter is, and they immediately find a dead body of a marauder there. Not obviously this guy has been killed by the poisonous snake that he left behind. And the gyro captain's kind of all like, oh yeah, fucking, that's why I leave the snakes. They work every time. They fuck shit up, you know?
Good move. Good
I remember move. Watching this the gyro copter for the first time. Like, no way in hell more than one person can ride on this thing. It's like how somebody else fits on. Obviously, movie magic. So,
and if you crash, that's that. There's nothing. I mean, you're on the skeleton of a go kart, and it's got like fucking lawnmower blades over top of it. You're fucking dead, dude.
And as he's searching the dead body, Max finds a single shotgun shell, which
helpful.
You find out he opens up his shotgun. He's had no bullets in his shotgun the entire film.
Okay.
And the gyro captain is just like, hey, man, that's not, that's dirty. That's fucking,
that's dishonest. Low.
We watched a woman be raped at 8:00 this morning. You're getting on me for having a gun with no bullets in it. You can fuck off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which my dog at any moment could have pulled the trigger and nothing would have happened. So.
Yep, yep. So, Jeremy, I have that audio queued up for you, by the way, whenever you're ready.
Okay.
So, I guess you'll let me know. So, they then take the gyro, they take the chopper over to the tanker, and Max is able to repair the rig and basically fires that sumbitch up and says, well, now we go our separate ways. See you later. And the gyro captain goes, we're partners. So he starts driving the rig back to the encampment. The gyro captain follows. The marauders hear the roar of the truck as it nears. He runs into the first car and then into another. And the basically, as he runs it, he hits one car, it runs into the other car, and this guy who's like changing his fucking tire or his oil underneath it basically gets crushed. And it's a pretty fucking little gnarly scene as this little action sequence begins.
What about the nutty couple that are having a little love session?
There is, like, he rips off one of the tents, and these this lady and this dude are fucking underneath it, like, what?
In the desert? Ouch.
They have that Saved by the Bell moment, like, oh my gosh. So Max is making his way towards the gate, and Humongous takes out this fucking, fucking case.
His commemorative 44 Magnum Smith & Wesson case. So.
Yeah, and he takes it out, and it's this fucking beautiful gun that has 44 mag, basically Barry Burton from Resident Evil, like, style
Barry?
Magnum. And he pulls it out. It has a giant scope on it, which makes no sense. It's like a deer hunter's scope on top of this gun.
A revolver.
All the bullets have, like, individual spaces within this, like, velvet casing. And he starts to load his...
Not many people that know that the commemorative Smith & Wesson case comes with a nice Nazi skull
that
pin that's inside it.
Yeah,
so.
yeah. So, Humongous takes a shot and then doesn't aim for Max, but shoots it basically like right through the grill of the fucking truck. And clearly now the truck is damaged. The truck is clearly fucking damaged. Max heads for the gate. But some of the gang also get in through the gate with him, and one of them is Wes, who's now inside of the camp wreaking fucking havoc.
This prick.
The rest of them are being held off by the giant flamethrower because they have all this gas and they're fucking like spraying it. They
awesome.
Destroy that fucking blue convertible.
I am turning 30 this year, and you know what you can get me?
What's that?
Fucking flamethrower.
I done it done, Kimberly Ambrose. You're getting a flamethrower from Quality Time.
I can't smoke cigarettes or have whiskey, but I can shoot a fucking flamethrower.
How long do I have until this flamethrower needs to be gotten?
End of June?
Done. Say no more. We're going to get you a goddamn flamethrower, Kimberly Ambrose.
I just want to thank everybody.
It's the easiest way to take care of wasps' nests.
Yeah.
So the Mohawk guy is wreaking havoc. Old Wes is wreaking havoc within. Zeta actually gets fucking shot while he's running the flamethrower and catches an arrow. But Max is able to hop back on it, hold off the rest of the horde. The Mohawk guy ultimately leaves and he says, "You can run, but you can't hide."
My favorite part is that he kills the guy from Murphy Brown. That with the bow and arrow. So.
Yes, yeah. that was one of my favorite parts.
Hey, Murph! The Mohawk guy
dead. What an idiot!
I couldn't remember the name of the show, Murphy Brown. So with Candace Bergen,
they find out that the mechanic says the rig is damaged and it's going to take 24 hours. And Zeta says, "You got 12," and he agrees to that immediately.
Okay.
He gets, for bringing the rig back, he gets 2 shotgun shells as his reward. Oh, yeah, I failed to mention that as he was driving up there, he shot the one round that he had found from the guy, and it's complete dud. It was like a flare.
It fizzled out. Yeah.
Could have gotten Humongous. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that if you were toothless in some way, you got cast in this movie, so.
Yeah.
And the dumber you looked, you definitely got cast, so.
Yeah, if you had a family member that fucked another family member and made you in Australia, during the late 70s and like early 60s, you were in this movie.
Yeah.
Either that or you were a member of the band Adamant. So.
Yeah, I'm sure. So the townspeople are happy. They think they got a chance with Max now. You know, they think like if we got Max with us, we're going to get out of this shit. But Max says, "I'm fucking out. I just want my gas and its deuces. My deal was to bring this to you. You deal with it now."
He doesn't
want
to be a good man anymore. It hurt him too much to be a good man and do the right thing.
Exactly.
And now he's not going to be tempted. He's fucking out of here.
And you have nothing more to offer me. Like, I can't carry more gas. We're in the post-apocalyptic world, lady.
More dry pussy? Whoop-de-dam-do.
So, Humongous comes and says to the town, "I promise you, no one gets out alive."
No one? Like, not even you?
Not even he's going to get alive.
Jesus.
So, as the town makes preparations, the gyro captain tries to convince a hot young girl to come with him. And God bless this girl. She actually seems like she sees something in the gyro captain.
I know. She's kind of into it.
She's kind of like mad about you, like Belinda Carlisle. So.
You know, if you're from a small town, okay?
Sure.
If you just see a newcomer, even if he's not a 10, even like a 6, if we're being honest, gyro captain is a solid 4, I'd go as high as a 5. If he cleaned up, didn't show his teeth to me, he could be a 5.
No way, dude. He's like a 3.8 at best.
He's 3.8?
He's thin. Imagine him naked.
He's all
like
fucking Adam's apples
sinewy.
And fucking...
Yeah! And like, somehow he still has saggy skin, even though he's thin. Like, how does that even make makes sense.
He has the kind of elbows that have
patchy body hair.
But with his gyro, just with his gyrocopter, he's a seventh. So.
Yeah. Well, then he rolls into this fucking desolate town.
He's got a way out. He's a ten.
He's got a way out. He's got a fucking ride that's cooler than anybody else's ride in this world. I mean, it's like rolling up with a Ferrari and $100 cash.
There's a movie about a woman who gave birth to a baby in a Walmart, and she was like, "I'm sticking through it, man." You know, and she just lived in a trailer park.
Can we pose the question as who actually birthed his child in Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome? Maybe the same woman. So
it could be. It could be.
I hate to say it's like she looks at him like, man, you just look right above a street bum. But man, that gyrocopter makes you look so hot.
I don't know
so
if it's the gleam sexy. Coming off of your crooked teeth or the fact that a strong wind would blow you over. But I like
maybe
it.
Maybe it's the holes in your pajamas that you wear everywhere.
Yeah, you fucking big stack of skinny fuckability, you. God, I can't wait to get in those fucking gnarly ass fucking Werther's original teeth that you have there.
Do you think when he fucks, you know? He like clacks like a 50s Halloween skeleton, like...
Yeah, you just... He just sounds like glow sticks moving constantly around there, like...
And he's the kind of guy that, like, no matter who the fuck is around, he's got his arm around her and smiling like an idiot. Like, a girl, let me fuck her.
Yeah.
And you're like, we know, dude.
This guy wipes her up, though. I mean, that's the best he could do in the pre-apocalyptic world, much less the post. Yeah. And for that, I give him props, because you shoot for the fucking... Yeah. You shoot for high things.
Yeah.
Otherwise... You know, you miss 100% of the shots that you never take. You know?
In all ways, he's a high flyer.
Most importantly, why don't you put one of those baby pigs in a bag and bring them with you? Yeah, come on.
So, Zeta tries to convince Max that he should come with them and be part of the fight. The exchange gets a little bit heated, and he says, "You're a maggot for living off the old world. You're living out here with the garbage." And
you're a maggot.
Yeah, he basically just accepts that. You're like, yeah, I'm a piece of shit.
Sounds good. That.
Like he's
is
like,
this the way out?
You're cool. Not wrong. Like he's like, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I am a piece of garbage. Yeah. Okay, I'm down with that. And the kid ends up like dropping into Max's car. He opens up the door and tells him to fuck off. And the kid gets pretty sad.
Hey, can I say that, you know, fighting the Marauders doesn't seem like a fight to me. It seems more like suicide.
Yeah,
much like fighting the Empire.
And at least those motherfuckers had the Force. So.
Right. They just have like quilted jackets and the will to live.
All I need is me and my dog Chewy. So.
I'm just saying, if you live in a post-apocalyptic world, why did you choose to dress the douchiest of all the people?
Like, that's what
I'm saying.
The good
guys are all like, no, we wear white, brown, and tan earth colors. We don't wear that
my
weird
mom
black
did me
stuff.
This scarf.
Like, they look so hot.
I didn't realize until just now that pretty much all the good guys looked that they just came from a bad aerobicized class.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Straight up jazzercise, bro. So, Max takes off, and the Mohawk guy, Wes, sees him leaving in the Interceptor. And the Marauders are able to really easily overtake him in his car. Am I wrong on this? I mean,
They have the Nitro.
Well, they have the Nitro, but literally the way they were like, oh, it's the Interceptor. All I need is this fucking giant chrome pipe that I ripped off a truck. I'm going to hit his car one time. And like Max is like, oh my God, this has never happened before. And careens off the side of the road. Makes no sense at all. But for the sake of the movie and for George Miller, this is the thing I love it. Everything in a George Miller film goes like that. It's like this part happens and then this part happens.
That's why I'm
and
all
then this
about
part
it.
Happens.
You,
like,
you don't know how long you've been watching it.
It's so the pacing of it is so beautiful that I was just like, I don't like the way that you did it, but I respect that it didn't take a long time.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It got right to the fucking point, and for that, I commend you. That's good directing.
I'm down.
So the Marauders go and go down to the Interceptor, which is kind of like on fire now. One of the Marauder comes up and immediately shoots the dog in the face. R.I.P. dog.
What the fuck?
R.I.P. dog. And as they're scavenging,
honestly,
Max goes
worse
and
than
hits
the rape.
Yeah. As they're doing it, though, and they're checking out the interceptor, Max blows the little kill switch on the car. Blows up all those fucking marauders down there. The guys that are watching from the road are just like, well, everybody's dead now. Guess I'll see you later.
If you don't blink, you get to see the guy that got his fingers chopped off literally explode into pieces.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking
badass.
You realize that
it's hooked up to the gas cap. As soon as he hits the gas cap, that's when the bomb is set to explode. So, not that Max set it off on purpose. He had no choice.
Oh, I thought it was... Maybe I read that wrong. I thought Max was hiding behind the thing and he detonated it somehow.
No, it was already
set. It was just rigged. It was just rigged. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. So, Max then crawls from the wreckage of the explosion, disoriented. The camera work and the cinematography and the editing looks as if you're on a mushroom trip. Like, that's the best way to describe what it's like to be on mushrooms is how, like, the trailers are happening as he's moving. Like, whoa, shit. And I'm like, maybe I need to explode sometimes because it's pretty fun.
For, like, one single second, were you like, oh, my God, what am I too hot? I didn't smoke anything. Oh, it's the movie. Nope, having a flash. We're good.
Immediately when it started, I heard the old Kenny Rogers song. Yeah, oh yeah, my condition will be on. And then I was floating through and playing bowling. It was great. It was a good time. So, out of nowhere, though, the gyro captain comes to the rescue and relax, partner. And, like, he does this scene like it's the movie Old School where he gets shot in the fucking dart with
the
neck.
He's like, your neck. It's okay. Relax, partner.
I like you, but you're crazy. And you get to see it. It's a pretty cool scene. I actually like it as, like, the helicopter's flying and Max's head is hanging over the edge. And,
it's fucking
he
realizes
really cool.
Where he's at. It kind of reminded me of Gladiator when he's on that cart.
Very similar shot.
Coming in and out.
Very similar shot. Yeah, absolutely.
Bring out your dead!
So Max then awakens within a trailer that's clearly set up to be some type of medical bay within the encampment. And
staring at the dead face of the guy from Murphy Brown. So.
Yeah. And then the feral kid comes over and hands him his clothes. And he comes out dressed in his fucking leathers again. And he goes,
what will you do without that fat tank of gas? Will you drive it? Will you drive it? Only me can drive it. Will you look at yourself, Wallace? I mean, Max. You won't be able to handle yourself. You look as bad and dead as the people that have been parked.
Oh, no, we will run. The humongous are too many.
Look at this. We're all stone, you know. Just like, you know, I'm Seth Rogen.
Yeah, that's all I got. Sorry.
Okay, good,
sorry.
Good. Listen.
I just fizzled out.
You tried.
I fizzled bizzled.
You tried, and I was proud of you more than anything. You know, listen. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, okay? That's my callback for the rest of the night.
I had something there. It was almost funny.
I have a joke that's like, you know what they say, if you shoot for the moon and you miss, it's probably because you're a piece of shit.
You know, when you miss, you end up at Uranus.
Half the room loves that, and the other half of the room takes it really personal.
I really love it. I'm going to go in the love crowd. I'm going to go in the love crowd.
You know, improv is good, but sometimes you just got shit, so.
You know?
So he offers to drive the rig, and as they're getting ready to leave, they see Humongous and Wes, with Wes on a leash now in front of his car, which is kind of fucking hot. So they drive out, and Humongous tries to shoot the rig again, but I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's like when they chain up Mongo in Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, it's very similar.
Also, it reminds me of when Thanos in all the other realities actually has the Hulk chained up at his throne.
Yeah.
And Hulk has a giant beard, like he's been there for years. So.
Yes. I love that. Well, that's where he starts to become the Maestro. The Maestro is like the future Hulk that's super evil. Anyway, I can get into it later. So as they leave, they see Humongous and Wes on the leash. They drive past him, and Humongous tries to shoot the rig again, but this time they're fucking armored up front. They got like a giant fucking plow thing on the front, so the Magnum does not go through it. Captain goes out. Captain goes out, and he starts dropping firebombs for cover. And now the fucking chase scene is on.
He also likes to drop snakes too.
He does. He drops snakes. He's all about the fucking like gnarly ass warfare that he goes through.
I'm thinking if this was a Japanese movie, he'd be urinating on them as well. So.
Yes.
Undoubtedly.
So this starts like a 17-minute car chase scene that happens for the rest of this movie that's pretty fucking badass.
And you think to yourself, oh my god, 17-minute car chase scene, what is this, like fucking the Freebird of goddamn movie scenes? But it's awesome.
It really is the tits. And this music plays the entire time.
I really like this in Pee-wee's Big Adventure as well.
It is pretty badass. So, as...
this is Danny Elfman's greatest music, so...
We'll give you some of the highlights of it, of the car chase scene here. There's a guy who gets ripped off the back of, like, the fucking tanker with a grappling hook, which is pretty badass.
Awesome.
And then... I thought that guy must have had to die when that happened.
Well, his whole thing, his old bird's nest got pulled off.
Yeah. Then there's a guy who gets, lights himself on fire by accident.
Hilarious.
The mechanic, and then he's sitting there talking back and forth, like, with him.
He's like, I'm fine.
I don't know what his character's name is, but I'm gonna call him Gimpy.
Gimpy the Gimpster.
With the mechanic, so.
There's the warrior chick who then gets fucking arrowed in the face.
So sad to see her go. I loved her.
Yeah, she was really strong, and I know we didn't mention her much up until now, but she's hot and looks like she knows where Pee-wee Herman's bike is.
Where she got her hair done during the apocalypse, I don't know.
No idea.
With crimped hairstyle, so.
Yeah. Max ends up shooting the guy in the red car, and a biker flips over. Like this fucking gnarly ass crash scene where this biker like basically flies over this car. That was actually a fucking legitimate horrible accident that happened during the movie.
Shit.
Like if you watch it, the guy who flips over in that scene, basically he shoots this red car, biker goes over and he flips over this car. Well, he was supposed to just kind of clear the car. Instead, he actually hit it. And you can see as he's tumbling afterwards, his knee bends in an unnatural way. Totally broke his leg during that scene. But they debated for a while whether to keep that in the movie or not. And they were like, it's such a good scene. And the guy was cool with it. He was just like, man, I'm a stuntman.
Like his leg is Brandon Lee.
At this point, I mean, if you're a stuntman, I'm like, yeah, I fucked myself up. I hope you do use that for the movie. Like, it's
better.
It's worse if you don't, right?
Wasted.
I think the best part for me is the fight over the chick that's like hanging off the side, and they have the little tug of war. It's like, oh well, he might save her, except they both get pulled underneath the truck and run over.
And
what makes it even better is the little feral boy seeing it too, like, ah,
yeah. So Max is the whole time this chase scene is going on, he's shooting people with the fucking shotgun left and right. The feral kid is biting people that are trying to enter the cab of the car. The leader Zeta ends up getting killed during this whole exchange. They shoot out the back tires and fucking with there's like a car that has a 4-barrel crossbow on it. A 4 fucking, like, not one cross,
I
like,
think it's
not
pneumatic.
A harpoon. It's fucking badass fucking
one
quadruple
dude, one dude,
barrel.
They're like, use your little wrist crossbow to shoot the tires. He's like, okay, and he gets real close, sucked underneath.
Right?
Fucking awesome. This whole scene is a PSA for texting and driving.
It's fucking awesome. So, it basically ends with the Zet or Wes getting up on the car, and they think he's gone. The other guy is still trying to get in the back, and so he tells the kid to go out to the hood of the car because one of the shotgun shells is resting on, like, the fucking hood of the tanker. He crawls through the fucking broken glass to go grab it, and fucking Wes jumps out of nowhere with our big jump scare, fucking tries to grab the kid, but now he sees Lord Humongous coming at him like this, coming full speed.
Because he had reversed the whole tanker around.
Yeah. And so he then takes the tanker and fucking crashes it right into Humongous with his fucking boy on the front, Wes, and boom.
Decimation.
Takes out both of those fucking cocksuckers in one beautiful, horrific crash scene.
Think of your least favorite politician. That's totally what you'd want to happen to them.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty awesome ending to the movie, like a climax to the movie right there. Just like, you take out your two top bad guys in one single scene.
One fell swoop. Like, yeah.
And very similar to Mad Max Fury Road. Very, very similar. Takes out all the hierarchy in one giant crash. I like that it isn't a Die Hard moment where it's like you kill one person and they were like, oh shit, now the other guy's back to life. Now we got to take out the other guy. There's none of that.
Right,
it's
right.
All fucking like, nope, we're going to take out everybody just right here.
Oh no, they're dead now.
Oh, they're super dead. We took out Humongous and we took out fucking Wes in one boom like that. And the rest of the Marauders come up and they find out that the tanker was filled with sand anyway.
What?
And that all... So, all of it was filled with sand, and the actual cars that everybody was driving in had all the oil, had all the gasoline.
I kind of want
it.
You to bleep out sand.
Yeah?
Yeah, for when they listen to it, so it's like, it was filled with what? And then you gotta watch it, it's worth it.
It was filled with beep, 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 beep.
Yeah. Just get a little air horn sign.
That's a
sound.
It's like a bit. I won't do the effort to make that happen. I want it. Like, it's so funny that I want to make
it
happen. I know I won't.
It was filled with melted cheese.
And it brings us to the final scene of the movie here, where we get to hear the end of The Road Warrior.
And so began the journey north to safety, to our place in the sun. Among us, we found a new leader, the man who came from the sky, the Gyro Captain. And just as Papagallo had planned, we traveled far beyond the reach of men and machines. The juice, the precious juice, was hidden in the vehicles.
Precious juice.
As for me, I grew to manhood. In the fullness of time, I became the leader, the chief of the great northern tribe, and a road warrior. That was the last we ever saw of him. He lives now only in my memories.
Wow. How do you think he died?
He doesn't.
How do you think he died eventually?
I don't know. We've yet to find out. I mean, we had
testicular cancer.
That was it.
Testicular cancer, yeah.
He had one of his... it was clearly cancer. I mean, it's a radiation-filled world.
Yeah.
Like,
he made a bad oyster one day. Got so sick he died.
It's probably
Isn't
something,
that ironic, don't you think?
He just died of regular bronchitis.
Yeah.
It was just...
He got an infection. He didn't have penicillin. That was it.
Some would say... It was a broken heart.
Oh.
It was a broken heart.
No, his kidneys failed. That's very sweet.
No,
but his kidneys failed.
It was renal failure.
Yeah.
He was a diabetic. He wasn't going to make it long in the post-apocalyptic world with his blood sugar the way it was. So, which is unfortunate, but kind of the world that you deal with. Only strong survive, bitch.
What are you going to do, you know?
Had only he checked his pH levels like he was supposed to, he could have lived a lot longer.
Is he a pool? Like, he's a backyard pool.
Oh, that was phenomenal. That was phenomenal. Quick shout out, by the way, if you guys are listening to the show tonight, tomorrow, whenever you are, make sure, if you haven't already, hop on the iTunes, hop on the Stitcher, leave us a 5-star rating so we can read it on the show. I actually have some, and I know I keep saying it every week, but next week...
Okay.
We're going to read them off at the end of the episode.
Okay.
But at the
Fantastic.
End of this episode, we have a special song by Jeremy Woodworth. Listen to the very end after the credits. If you're sticking around, check out the Jeremy Woodworth song. It's a doozy. It's an oldie, but a goodie, but it's probably new to all our listeners. Check out Nambla, guys. It's going to be at the end of this episode. We had Soccer Riots last week, if you weren't listening. But Jeremy didn't listen. Jeremy doesn't listen to the end of the episode. He didn't
I was
know.
Looking for
he
my
didn't
song.
Didn't even know.
I was looking for my song from the other week. I'm like, where the hell did he put it? He put it after the credits.
Oh, there's Easter eggs at the end of every episode now. That's the way we roll here. Kimberly, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me at the Second Saturday Shit Show, the second Saturday of every month for free up at the Auto Bar. It's gonna be so much fun. We're upstairs. Did I mention it's fucking free? I'm on Twitter at Watch Me Doing
But
this.
Wait a minute. How much is free, Kimberly?
It's $0.
Oh my God, I can't afford that.
I know you can. I'm on Twitter at Watch Me Doing This and Instagram at Panic at the Deli.
Hell yeah. Check all that out, Kimberly. And I'm going to be at the Second Saturday Shit Show in September.
It's
if you guys could come out, it'd be great. I'm filming something. All things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Check it out there. Come out to a murder mystery. Do your thing. Jeremy, take us out.
At least with free comedy, you can afford more precious goss.
Man, boy.
Boy.